श्री भागवत गीता इंस्ट्रक्ट्स अस दैट वी मस्ट गिव अप ईगोटिज्म एंड लेथर्जी टू मेक रियल एडवांसमेंट इन कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस. Shri Hanumanji is the personified example of one who has attained the ultimate perfection through Sevanam, carrying out the order of the Lord. He would not rest, and he was willing to take humblest position. And in that humility, he could take the size of a small thumb and come in and out of the mouth of Suras. Or he could take gigantic proportion size to terrorize Ravana and the people of Lanka. Hanumanji was simply willing to do anything or everything with a pure heart for the pleasure of Sri Ram. When he returned to Kishkinda after his amazingly successful mission, he was brought to Prashravana, the cave of Sri Ramchandra. Lord Ram was waiting for some indication of Sita's well-being with deep anticipation. Chanting her names, her beautiful form and qualities fixed within his heart, in spiritual love, he was suffering deep separation. Sri Hanumanji described his incredible pastimes in great detail to Lord Sri Ramchandra. Upon hearing this report, Lord Rama was overcome with emotion. So much emotion. His feeling of indebtedness to Hanuman for the risks that he had taken on his behalf eclipsed even his feelings of separation from Sita. Lord Ramchandra, with a faltering voice, choked with love, describes the heroic deeds of Hanumanji. For my sake, he did what no one else could possibly do. He jumped across that ocean. By his determination, he overcame impossible obstacles. For my sake, all alone, he wandered through the most dangerous place in the universe, Sri Lanka, getting detailed information for me. For my sake, he delivered my message to Sita and saved her life. For my sake, Hanuman, all alone, sat face to face against Ravana, Indrajit, and the most powerful, dangerous, man-eating, blood-sucking Rakshasas of the universe. Millions of them. Tens and millions. Hundreds of millions of them. And he was alone. And he spoke the truth. He praised me. For my sake, he accepted beatings, blasphemy, his tail put on fire. And for my pleasure, he set Sri Lanka ablaze. And Hanuman has asked for nothing in return. He has gone so far beyond what was expected of him, taking immense risks, giving his life, his soul, his everything. And he wants nothing in return. The only thing Hanuman wants is to please me. In giving my message to Sita, he saved her life. She would have died if he did not come when he did in separation. And in bringing me her message today, he has saved my life, because I was on the verge of death in separation of my beloved. Hanuman has saved two lives. There is no possibility that I could repay him with all that I have. It is a poor excuse of a repayment. But all I have to give him is myself. Hanuman, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my very self. Then Sri Ram wept tears. His limbs trembled as he embraced Hanumanji tightly to his heart. And thus satisfied the innermost desires of Hanumanji's heart. Lord Sri Ram then began to consider how to reclaim Sita. There was an obstacle that was a great concern for Lord Ramchandra. How to cross the ocean. Thinking of the ocean between he and Sita, Ram began to lament. Sugriva pacified him. He said, "My Lord, for your service, somehow or other, we will bring all of our monkeys across that ocean. Please have no fear. Have no anxieties. Let us go to the seashore. Ram then boarded Hanuman's shoulders. Lakshman boarded Angada's shoulders. And with unlimited monkey soldiers, they all marched to the shore of the sea. When Ram sees the sea, nothing but water as far as the eyes could see, he cries in separation from Sita. Meanwhile, on the other side, Ravana calls his ministers into the main assembly hall. He was sitting on his royal crystal throne. Vibhishan, his brother, was seated right beside him on a golden throne. Ravana requests all of his loyal and faithful ministers to give him advice what to do. His spies have already told him there is unlimited sea of monkey soldiers right next to the sea of water. And they're roaring. And they're angry. They are ready for battle. And just one of those monkeys had come to Sri Lanka and created total chaos, havoc, and destruction. He was like death personified. Ravana said, "We have to take this battle very seriously. I want your advice. What should we do?" And Ravana said, a leader who have the highest character is very careful to seek advice from those who are faithful and qualified. He seeks advice from the elderly people who, due to their age and experience, have developed great wisdom. And he seeks advice from friends. Friends who throughout one's life shares the same joys and shares the same sorrows and are willing to give their lives for their friend. And he also seeks advice from family member. Those family members who are willing to live for you and die for you. And a person who is of the highest character of a leader, after taking this advice, leaves the results to God. The second class leader, he takes counsel from his own heart, his own intelligence, and his own experience, and then takes full responsibility for his actions. And a third class leader, he embarks on actions without intelligently analyzing the pros and the cons, without very carefully and sensitively considering what the different alternatives may be and what the results may be of what one does. And without any care for the grace of God, he hastily performs his actions and makes decisions. So do not think it is a formality that I am asking for your advice. I am a first-class leader, and I trust all of you. Give me your counsel. The Rakshasas stood up with their weapons in their hands, and they were roaring the praises of Ravana. They said, "Ravana, you have nothing to fear. We will devastate that monkey army in a matter of hours. And Ram and Lakshman, mere human beings, mortals, how will they stand before you? You alone can crush them in a matter of seconds. We have seen your glories, Ravana. We have seen you go to Mount Kailash and challenge Kuvera to a fight, defeat him, steal away from him his abode of Sri Lanka and his carrier, the Pushpaka. We have seen you, Sri Ravana. We have seen you put so much terror in the heart of the demon Maya. Maya Danava. That just to appease you, he gave you his daughter, most beautiful woman, Mandodari. We have seen you conquer Vasuki, the king of the serpents. And we have seen even Yamaraj flee in fear of your prowess. What will this mere mortal do standing before you, Ravana? You are all-powerful. You are almighty. You don't even need us. You alone can destroy that whole army. We have seen. We have faith. Sri Ravana ki jai." And then Prahasta, one of the most powerful generals of Ravana's army, he stood up. And he roared with conviction. He said, "Ravana, that nonsense, insignificant, stupid monkey Hanuman, he was only able to affect us because we were not prepared for him. He came in unexpectedly, and therefore he created havoc. If we were prepared for him, any one of us could have crushed him to death in seconds." Prahasta said, "Myself alone can destroy that whole army. Have no fear, Ravana." And Duramukha, he stood up, raising his weapon, which was covered with blood and flesh of human beings he had conquered as ornaments. And he cried out, "My arms, they are so powerful that you just tell me, Ravana, you just tell me, I will fly across that ocean at this very moment, destroy Ram and kill his entire army. Just tell me, I'm ready." Virupaksha, Mahodara, and Indrajit, they all stood up, roared, raising their weapons, each declaring that alone they could wipe out all opposition. "Ravana, you have nothing to fear. Have no anxiety whatsoever. We are prepared. Let us fight this battle." Then Vibhishan, Ravana's half-brother, stood up. Meanwhile, all of the other Rakshasas were roaring, screaming, chanting the glories of Ravana. and arrogantly glorifying their own prowess. Vibhishan waited until there was complete silence, and he spoke. He said, "Ravana, my dear brother, I am going to speak the truth to you. Everyone, please listen. That in this world, power is in the hands of the virtuous. Ram is supremely virtuous. And we are sinful. We will not be able to stand against him in battle. You are all speaking like fools. But have you thought in the Dandakya forest when Kara, Ravana's your own brother, and Dushan with over 10,000 soldiers all armed with the highest weaponry, and in a matter of 1 or 2 hours Ram slayed them all, and you are calling him a mere mortal? What are you fools talking about? Be sensible. My dear brother Ravana, stealing Sita is an evil sin that must be punished. Return Sita or perish. You cannot stand before Ram. The whole universe cannot stand before Ram. If you do not return Sita and beg forgiveness at the feet of Ram, then you will be destroyed and your entire Rakshasa dynasty will perish." As Vibhishan was speaking, the entire assembly of massive, powerful Rakshasa warriors were gazing at him with despite, despising eyes. But he spoke the truth. Hearing everyone speak, Ravana announced that he was ending this assembly until tomorrow. He had to think carefully about what everyone had said. The next day, before the assembly started, as Ravana was walking through the hallways of his beautiful palaces in the assembly hall, Vibhishan approached him and begged him to reconsider fighting Ram. Prayed to Ravana, "Please, for your own sake, release Sita." Ravana entered into the assembly hall, sat on his throne, and then offered Vibhishan his throne. On that particular day, a most honored guest appeared to give his counsel, Kumbhakarna. Ravana explained to everyone that I am being advised to give back Sita, but this is not possible. Her beauty, her charm, her qualities has stolen my heart, has conquered my mind. The passion of love that I have for Sita, I cannot relinquish, and I must tell all of you this today. Now I want your counsel. What should be done? Kumbhakarna stood up. You can imagine how big this assembly hall must have been for Kumbhakarna to stand up. And when he spoke, it was like the roaring of a mountain. He said, Ravana, you are my brother. I can speak the truth to you. You talk about being a first-class leader. Well, why didn't you consult us before you went on that whole mission with Maricha and kidnapped Sita from Ram? Why? That was a major undertaking. Why you didn't seek any guidance from any of us? You acted independently, whimsically, and hastily. But what's done is done, you fool. Because you are our king, we are your obedient servants. And if it is your wish to fight this battle, we will all live and die for you. But I will enter that battlefield, Ravana. And I will take the blood and the flesh of all of those monkeys and Ram himself and devour them with great satisfaction. You have nothing to fear. Then other Rakshasas stood up. Mahaparshva, he said, Ravana, why are you being so mild with this Sita? She's just a mere woman. If she doesn't want to give in to you, force her. You have millions of times the power over her. Every one of your 20 arms are like 10,000 elephants. Force her into submission. What do you have to fear? Why all these formalities? Ravana then revealed a secret he had never told any of them before. He told the whole story of how he tried to abduct Ramba, the heavenly damsel, and Nala Kuvera cursed him with the confirmation of Lord Brahma that if ever he tried to violate a woman's chastity by force, he would immediately drop dead and go to hell. I cannot give her up, but I cannot force her. She must submit by her own conviction in my greatness. Indrajit and others, Sita will be yours. You have no fear, my father. Let us fight this battle and finish them off. And when she sees that Ram is dead, he's just a puddle of flesh and blood to be eaten by dogs, then she will certainly submit to you. At that time, Vibhishan stood up. Ravana and all respectable members of this assembly, are you blind? Have you not seen? Ever since the day Sita was brought to Sri Lanka, there has been nothing but horrible omens all around us. Crows are screaming, jackals are howling, blood is falling from the clouds. The most ominous stars and constellations are coming every night. The sun has become hazy. Don't you see? These are all signs of our own destruction. Ravana, all these others, in the assembly hall. They are simply telling you what you want to hear. They are not your friends. They are not your servants. They simply want to satisfy that by telling you whatever you want them to say, knowing that you will give them great favors by them doing so. But I am not like them. I am your brother. I am your brother. And I love you. I truly care for you. Therefore, I must tell you the truth, Ravana. That Sita is like a venomous serpent. And she's like a noose wrapped around your neck. Her charms are like her fangs. The beautiful form of her body is like the coils around your neck. And her chastity and loyalty to Ram is the poison that will destroy you and your entire race. Give back Sita. Apologize to Ram. You have your whole kingdom of Sri Lanka. Everyone here is happy, prosperous. There's no problems here. Why have you brought death to everyone? Give Sita back and live happily with what you have, or you will all die. There was an uproar when Vibhishan spoke these words. Indrajit, he just leaped to his feet in such fury and lifted his club high and screamed out in a hideous mantra's voice, Vibhishan, you are a coward. How can you call yourself a Rakshasa? How can you call yourself a representative of our race when there is such fear and weakness in your miserable heart? You are a traitor. You have become a friend of the enemy. Why do you speak these nonsense, illusory words? I myself, with my club, I defeated Indra. What do we have to fear? I will destroy the entire race of Ram and of Ram's armies. Myself. Just put them before me. You're a fool, Vibhishan. Vibhishan stood up. And he severely chastised his nephew, Indrajit. He said, Indrajit, you are a mere boy, immature and frivolous. You have not developed the brain substance of proper intelligence. Although you call Ravana my brother, your father, in fact, you are his worst enemy. Because you are inspiring him on the path to his own death. Indrajit, I must speak the truth to you. I am your elder and superior. You are evil-minded, deceitful, and you deserve to die. Hare Krishna. When Vibhishan spoke those words to Indrajit, the elder son of Ravana, his eyes became red and hot with fury. He jumped to his feet and he screamed, gazing upon Vibhishan with hatred and despise. He roared, better to live with a venomous serpent than an unfaithful friend like you, Vibhishan, who can turn against me at any moment. Better to live with a venomous serpent than a so-called friend who takes the side of your worst enemy. It is a fact that brothers in this world very often envy their older brother who is in a chief position who is getting the important work done. There is nothing more dangerous than a family member, a kinsman, who is unfaithful. Vibhishan, if you were not my brother, I would kill you on the spot at this very moment. I have given you everything you have. Whatever you are, I have made you. And now you have become a traitor. You are turning against me. Yes, if you were not the brother of my blood, I would kill you at this very moment. Get out from here. I do not want to see your condemned face again. Get out from here. I reject you. Vibhishan, along with four of his faithful ministers, ascended into the air by their mystic powers. Vibhishan made one more try to convince Ravana to be sensible and give Sita back to Ram. But Ravana could not hear. No one in that assembly house could hear. At that moment, Vibhishan renounced all of his wealth, his home, his family, his friends, to seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Ramchandra. Vibhishan, with his four ministers, by their powers, they flew across the ocean 800 miles in a matter of 1 hour. Out of etiquette, Vibhishan did not feel that it was either appropriate or that he was qualified to approach Lord Ram directly. He approached Sugriva with the intent that Sugriva would bring him before Lord Ram. Sugriva looked up in the sky and he saw five massive rakshasas wearing armor and jewels and carrying weapons. Immediately, Sugriva gathered some of his chief soldiers and started speaking horrible words against them. Sugriva prepared to kill Vibhishan. Vibhishan heard all of these blasphemous words against him. But Vibhishan didn't care what anybody said, because he had complete faith in the compassionate nature of Lord Rama. Vibhishan spoke to Sugriva that in the island of Sri Lanka lives Ravana. He is the king of the Rakshasas and the ruler of Lanka. It was he, Ravana, who forcibly stole Sita, the chaste and faithful wife of the glorious Sri Ramchandra. I am the brother of Ravana. With all of my powers, I tried to convince Ravana to surrender to Ram and give Sita back. But he admonished me. He rejected him. And therefore, I have abandoned my brother. And I have come to surrender my life at the lotus feet of Sri Ram. When Sugriva heard these words, he didn't believe a word of it. He considered Vibhishan to be a dangerous spy that Ravana had sent. But still, it was his duty to bring him before Ram. Sugriva went to Ram with Vibhishan behind. He told him everything Vibhishan has said. Ramchandra became very quiet. He looked around him. The chiefs of the monkeys surrounded him. Ram asked that everyone give their opinion of how to deal with Vibhishan. He first called upon Sugriva. Sugriva revealed his mind. That this man is deceitful. He has an evil heart. How can he be trusted? Ravana is his brother. Ultimately, blood is thicker than water. When push comes to shove, he's going to side with his brother. And if he's inside our ranks, he will cause great problems. This man should be killed immediately. Then Angada and several other of the monkly chieftains, they echoed the same voice as Sugriva. He's a Rakshasa by birth. He cannot be trusted. We can put no faith in him. We cannot let him be near us. We either have to kill him or send him back from where he has come from. Ram then turned to Hanumanji. Hanuman, I very highly respect your opinion. Please reveal your heart. Hanuman spoke very sweetly. I believe with firm conviction that we should accept Vibhishan as our own. We should accept him as our own family. We should accept him as faithful as if we accept any of each other. We should make him one of us. Because I do not see, either in his speech or in his expression, any sign of deceitfulness. I believe that with an honest, pure, and humble heart, he is coming to surrender to you, Lord Ram. Let us accept him. Then Lord Ram spoke. He spoke words that I pray may forever vibrate in all of our hearts. The Lord said, I cannot refuse anyone who has come to take shelter of me. I am not concerned with their past. I am not concerned with their birth. If anyone, even one time, declares with a sincere heart, "My Lord, from this day I am yours," then I vow that I will give that person protection forever. I cannot turn away any sincere soul who comes for the shelter of my feet. Please listen. I declare before all of you this solemn vow that even if Ravana were to come to me today for shelter, I would give him my life and all shelter for the rest of eternity. When Ram spoke that, all the monkeys were crying. And then Ram concluded, "Bring Vibhishan. I will accept him. In fact, I have already accepted him within my heart as my servant and my devotee. Bring him before me." When Sugriva heard that, he was weeping. Weeping. My dear Lord, you are all merciful. It is your mercy that is the only hope for all the fallen souls of this universal creation. From this day, Vibhishan will be our loving brother. Vibhishan then descended with his four ministers. He laid flat on the ground in full dandavat, clasping the feet of Lord Ramchandra, crying, begging for forgiveness and begging for shelter. With Ram's permission, then Vibhishan, he knelt on his knees, folded his palms, and spoke. He said, "The man that has stolen your wife, my Lord, is Ravana. And I am his half-brother. I abandoned Ravana because of his offenses to you. In fact, I have abandoned my family, my home, my wealth, and my numerous friends. Now, I only have one person to depend on, and that is you, O Lord Ram. You are the Lord and the shelter of the entire universe. I completely depend on you. I surrender my life to you. Ram, I am yours. And you can have complete faith that I will assist you in every possible way that you command for me to do." Lord Ramchandra, with great love, accepted Vibhishan. Then he inquired from Vibhishan, "Tell me everything you know about Ravana, about the great hero warriors that will be fighting for him, about the way they fight, about the strategies they have against us and tell me everything about the fortification of the fort of Sri Lanka. Vibhishan gave such vital, critical information to Sri Ram. Then Ram turned to Lakshman. He said, "Bring the water of the sea, Lakshman. I am going to destroy Ravana and his whole race. Bring the water of the sea at this very moment and consecrate Vibhishan as the ruler of Lanka." Lakshman obediently followed Ram's order. There was a beautiful ceremony, very simple, but full of enthusiasm, where he poured the water on the head of Vibhishan and consecrated him as the ruler of Lanka. And when he did, all the monkey soldiers were roaring with joy and dancing in ecstasy as they chanted the holy name. Vibhishan, with deep humility, simply bowed his head in obedience to the will of Sri Ram. Hanuman then inquired from Vibhishan, "How could we cross the ocean?" Because they were right here, looking at the ocean. They were on the shore. Hanuman asked Vibhishan, "How do you suggest we can cross this ocean?" And it was the great Vibhishan who gave the advice that Lord Ram should personally ask the sea god what is the best way. Ram was very pleased by his advice. At that very moment, Lord Ram made a mat out of kusha grass right on the shore of the sea. And he sat there praying for the sea god to appear to him to resolve this essential question. At that time, Ravana sent a spy of the name Shuka to infiltrate the ranks of the monkey army and to get all information. As soon as Shuka came, nobody could detect him but Vibhishan. He immediately recognized Shuka. He is a spy of Ravana. After informing Sugriva this, Sugriva captured Shuka, and they beat him, and they kicked him, and they pummeled him. And Shuka was just screaming out, "Ram, Ram, save me, save me." And Ram said, "Who is calling my name? Bring him to me." They said, "He's a spy." Ram told him, "Shuka, go back to Ravana and tell him everything you have seen." And then he told the monkey soldiers, "Release him." Sri Ramchandra sat for 3 days and 3 nights on the seashore, appealing to Samudra, the king of the ocean, to appear. But he did not appear. Ram manifested transcendental anger. He turned to Lakshman. See the vanity of this great demigod. Because of his power and opulence, he has become so arrogant. He is not willing to hear my call. With great patience, I have sat here for 3 days, appealing to him with humility, politeness, and gentleness. But he has ignored me. Why? Because these qualities are seen as signs of weakness by wicked-hearted persons. Humility, gentleness, politeness are seen as weaknesses in character by those who are wicked. In this world, people are so corrupted that they respect arrogance and harshness. See what I will do. With my flaming arrows, on this very day, I shall dry up the entire ocean. And then, my dear monkey soldiers, you could just walk right to Sri Lanka. Sri Ram then drew his bow. As he drew his bow, his eyes were red like flaming hot coals. He shot hundreds of arrows into the ocean. There were massive waves that were going miles high. There was such heat being created by those arrows that clouds of steam were emerging from the surface of the ocean. The aquatics were screaming in agony for shelter. Then Sri Ramchandra drew a golden arrow and invoked the Brahmastra. Darkness filled the sky. Massive thunderbolts came colliding down from all directions. There were high cyclone velocity winds, and the entire earth began to shake. Ram stood with this golden arrow, drew in his bow. The ocean surged back 10 miles. And it swelled up. The waves were like mountains. It was becoming so agitated. The heat practically created a boiling condition for the entire ocean. It was in that scenario that Samudra, the king of the ocean, emerged like the rising sun, and with folded hands surrendered to Sri Ram. After begging forgiveness for his delay, Samudra told Ram that I will give you the advice that you wish to seek. He said that amongst the monkey generals, there is Nala. who is the son of Vishwakarma. Vishwakarma, his father, has conferred the same potencies and intelligence for architecture and construction as his father himself. Let Nala build a bridge across the ocean, and I give my word that I will protect that bridge and I will give you passage to Sri Lanka with no obstacles. Ram said, now you tell me what to do with this golden arrow. Because once it's drawn, I have to release it. So Mudra said, in the far, far northern direction of the ocean, there are great rakshasas and demons living within me. Shoot that arrow there and destroy them all. And then Samudra Raj again descended into the sea. Nala was joyful to receive this service. Immediately, he started directing the monkeys to bring the materials for the bridge. And the monkeys, they were so enthusiastic to serve Ram in his mission of retrieving Sita. They were just going everywhere and bringing huge rocks, huge mountaintops, gigantic trees, and just piling them on the seashore. And then, by Nala's direction, Hanuman and the other monkeys put these gigantic slabs of stone, mountaintops, peaks, and trees, and just started, they all floated on the ocean. With creepers and vines, Nala directed them to tie them all together very tightly so it was one solid slab. The first day, they covered 100 miles. Instead of getting tired, they were becoming more enthusiastic. The second day, 150 miles. The third day, 200 miles. And within 5 days, the bridge was complete. It was 800 miles long and 80 miles wide. And it was a solid, smooth road. Probably much smoother than the roads we're driving on in South India. There's that famous story of how during the building of the bridge, these gigantic monkeys were bringing such huge trees and huge rocks and chanting the name of Ram, putting them down in the sea. Can you imagine what a blissful sound this must have been? Wouldn't you love to hear the construction of the bridge across the Indian Ocean? The sounds of the monkeys lifting big peaks of mountains. I've lived in Chopati long enough to know what construction sounds like.